OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Wednesday, May 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. You've probably tried a generative artificial intelligence chatbot. Maybe you've tried two, or more. These days, AI chatbots like OpenAI's ChatGPT or Google's Gemini are being asked to do a lot of tasks for us. But which of these many tools is in fact most useful? The WSJ put five of them to the test, and we've got the results. And sticking with AI, the technology's boom has set off a feverish retooling of skill sets for tech workers. We'll find out what they're doing to bridge the gap between what they know and what they need to know. First up, it's the Great AI Challenge. Human-sounding bots barely existed 2 years ago. Now they're offering resume advice, recipe help, and even writing wedding vows. To find out which of these generative AI bots is most useful, the WSJ put five of the leading ones through a series of blind tests. The bots were ChatGPT by OpenAI, which is celebrated for its versatility and ability to remember users' preferences. We should note that Wall Street Journal owner News Corp has a content licensing partnership with OpenAI. Copilot from Microsoft, it leverages OpenAI's technology and integrates with services like Bing and Microsoft 365. Google's Gemini, it accesses the company's search engine for real-time responses. Claude from socially conscious startup Anthropic is geared to be inoffensive. And finally, Perplexity. It's a research-focused chatbot that cites sources with links and stays up to date. WSJ reporter Dalvin Brown was part of the testing team. He's here to tell us what they learned. So Dalvin, you used the paid versions of each of these bots. Tell us a bit about how the test was conducted.
Yeah, so we wanted subject matter experts, and we turned to those in the newsroom. So we had editors from personal finance, from personal health. We had some of our columnists who were experts in their respective fields all help come up with questions that we would throw at these AI chatbots. And then we had them blindly evaluate the answers and rank them and tell us what they liked and didn't like about each answer. So we wanted to see how they would perform in categories related to how everyday users would actually interact with them. So we had personal health, we had personal finance, we had cooking. We also ran summarization tasks for them to see if they could pull information from a PDF or from web pages and save you some time.
So we don't have time to talk about all the challenges. For that, listeners, of course, can head over to WSJ.com. But I want to talk about how the bots did in a few of these tests. One that stood out to me was work writing. What happened there?
So imagine you're trying to have an AI chatbot write a job listing for you or send an email to your coworkers announcing your new baby. We threw questions at them to see how well they would do this. We said that we were looking for a person who could run AI queries with our personal tech team, and it came up with a job description for that person. And the editors really liked the Perplexity one, whereas Copilot seemed to be a little bit confused about what we were looking for in the job.
What about something near and dear to us at the journal, finance? What prompt did you put in and which bots did best there?
We told the chatbot, hey, I'm a 40-year-old man. I just inherited this much money. How much do I need to take out this year? Copilot sounded really cheerful and is like, congratulations on inheriting that amount. But others were very detailed. And Gemini took the crown on that one because it gave a really nuanced answer that was actually very actionable and practical.
So what were the overall results after all of these tests?
So after running hundreds of queries, and having to rerun them because these chatbots get updated all the time, we came up with a winner, and it was actually Perplexity. It was a big surprise to find out that ChatGPT, the sort of household name in AI chatbots, while it did really well in some categories, didn't win overall. And, you know, some of these lesser known startups that are running their own AI chatbots really did give ChatGPT a run for its money. Two big takeaways for me are that just because you're the big power player in AI doesn't mean that you have the best chatbot in all cases, but also that all of these things are worth trying. And with chatbots getting updated quite frequently, each one is just as good as its last update.
So Delvin, what did the companies behind these chatbots say about the results?
Perplexity told me that it tuned its model for conciseness, which forces it to identify the most essential components of a response. Anthropic told me that the team is making Claude faster, expanding its knowledge base and refining its ability to understand and interact with a wide range of content. And Google and Microsoft declined to comment for this story, but Microsoft recently told the journal that it would integrate some of OpenAI's GPT-4o into Copilot.
That was our reporter, Dalvin Brown. Coming up, there is demand for a specific type of AI talent, but not enough workers are qualified for those roles. We'll tell you how job seekers and companies are dealing with this imbalance after the break.
Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI.
Companies and tech workers alike are working to refashion themselves for the artificial intelligence age. Workers are trying to add more skills, while companies are trying to retool their workforces to be more AI proficient. Reporter Catherine Binley, who covers the work and culture of Silicon Valley, has been looking into this trend and joins us now. So, Katie, there have been a lot of tech layoffs in the past few years, but right now there's also a lot of demand for AI workers. What specific roles in AI are companies looking for?
There's very high demand currently for this one specific type of AI talent, which would be people with experience actually building large language models from scratch, or people who have very highly technical knowledge about LLMs and who can really problem solve in AI. So there's a lot of demand for that, but there aren't actually that many people who are qualified and have the experience to do that.
Katie, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, how is the AI boom affecting the labor market and the tech sector overall?
So what we're seeing is that tech firms are putting a lot of money toward AI, but they're not necessarily going on hiring sprees the way that they did many years ago. So there's some data showing that as far as new tech job postings, as of 2019, they were at an average of around 308,000 a month. And then that's down to 180,000 a month as of April. And that's according to CompTIA, which is a tech trade association.
So for workers who are trying to get noticed in the AI boom, what skills are they highlighting on their resumes?
I talked with someone who he got laid off from Amazon in March, and he does have some experience in AI, but he hasn't actually worked with LLM since 2016. And with how fast this technology is moving, that experience is now quite dated. So he is getting interviews, but then he's not actually ending up getting job offers. And so what he's doing now is this AI boot camp to brush up on his skills. That's sort of what's going on for a lot of workers, is they're just trying to figure out how they can add things to their resume that are going to make them more desirable in this current market.
You mentioned the boot camps. How much does something like that cost?
Well, this one, that's from Deep Atlas, and it's $6,800 for a 2-week online course.
And what are the folks running these boot camps saying about demand?
Especially very recently, they're seeing a real sense of urgency among workers. I spoke with the co-founder of Deep Atlas, and he just noticed that it went from like, oh, I might be interested in this, to I really feel like I need to do this. So they actually have been expanding the number of slots they're making available to people to do these AI boot camps.
Are companies willing to take a chance on workers who don't have a lot of AI experience?
Yeah, they definitely are. One of the questions I asked several people was like, if you're a really talented coder who's been working at Google or Meta, could you go get a job at an AI company, even if the experience you have in software engineering is not actually AI specific? And for the most part, people said like, yeah, if you are willing to learn and you're committed to the company's mission, and if you have some of these other soft skills, then like, yes, they are very open to that. One woman I spoke with who's head of AI at this company called Multiverse, she's currently looking to build a machine learning engineering team. And she'd said like, yes, you need coding skills, but you also need some of these soft skills. And for her, that's learning agility, the ability to cross collaborate. And then this other piece that she said is actually pretty hard to find is a foundational knowledge of AI theory. And so her point was like, it's not enough to have just been like messing around with ChatGPT. We need people to actually really understand AI tools.
What are companies doing then to improve the AI skills of their current workforces?
We're starting to see at least upskilling within companies. So I spoke with some folks over at Salesforce, and they've got over 40 different AI-related courses. And they've said they've had over 60,000 employees who've taken at least one of their AI courses. I spoke with the senior vice president of Salesforce AI, and he basically said that their mentality currently is that everyone is going to need to reskill and to have the tools, these types of tools, in order to succeed in what will be a new world, apparently.
That was our reporter, Catherine Binley. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by me with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.